All right, welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Thursday, July 27th, 2023. Mike Adams here. We've got a couple of big stories and an interview coming up. It's a video interview with Mike Colomb of the PMA team, a specialist in forming PMAs, or private membership associations, and defending them against counties and states that sometimes try to attack them because they don't think that you have the right to privately associate with each other, by the way. So that's a fascinating interview coming up. We've also got a big story about how Chase has debanked, key people associated with Dr. Joseph Mercola and the Mercola Market in Florida. This is exactly what I've been talking about, the weaponization of the financial system. They also debanked Nigel Farage recently, as you know, in the UK. So we're going to be covering that in more detail. And I hope that Dr. Mercola sues Chase for violating his civil rights. And I'm planning on the possibility that Chase may debank me as well. They haven't yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do. So we'll talk about that coming up. But the bigger news right now that's going to affect the entire nation has to do with the destruction of the economy and the supply chain and this specific thing that's about to happen to Yellow. So Yellow is a trucking firm. It's maybe the largest or one of the largest in America. And as you know, just a few days ago, Yellow averted a strike that happened over the weekend. There was a strike that was threatened by, I think, 22,000 Teamsters members. And they were striking over, of course, wages and worker benefits and so on. So Yellow averted the strike by agreeing to pay more than $50 million that it owed in worker benefits and also pension accounts. Now, understand, make sure you recall what I've said about pensions before, that pensions, many of them are going to zero. Others are going to take a big haircut, and they're not going to be worth what they're supposed to be worth. And the dollars themselves are also losing value every day. So even if you have a pension, you know, it's not going to be worth what it's supposed to be anyway in terms of purchasing power. So Yellow in serious trouble, right? But strike averted. So you think, oh, whew, that was close call right there, right? But no. Now, from FreightWaves.com, a story by Rachel Premack with a headline that should be alarming to anyone paying attention. Here we go. Here it is. Yellow executive tells sales staff the company will file bankruptcy on Monday. What? Yellow's senior vice president of sales informed her staff that their last day would be Friday and that the carrier will file bankruptcy on Monday, according to three employees who attended the video call. So this is, Yellow is reported here, I'm reading from FreightWaves, the third largest LTL company. LTL means less than truckload carrier, so they handle pallets and partial truckloads. They're the third largest LTL company. They employ 30,000 workers, including 22,000 Teamsters members. They had an operating revenue last year of $5.2 billion. Understand? $5.2 billion. Now, Yellow Trucking or Yellow Freight, they're just called Yellow, but I'm just going to call them Yellow Freight. What they do is they have, you know, it's a logistics company, and they have these hubs where they have forklifts, and they move pallets around and load them in the correct trucks that go to other cities, and then they offload and they redirect those. It's kind of like UPS, but whereas UPS operates on the box level, Yellow operates essentially on the pallet level, right? So same kind of concept, but, you know, commercial loads. The sales employees, according to the story, were approved to tell customers of the bankruptcy plans and to take paid time off for the rest of the week. Wow. So, holy cow. Like, okay, first of all, last weekend, the company agrees to pay $50 million that it owed in worker benefits. And now, obviously, the Teamsters were going on strike because Yellow was not paying what they owed, you know, the pensions and the benefit funds, right? So that's partly what caused the strike. So Yellow said, okay, we're going to agree to pay that. And then we hear that Yellow's going to declare bankruptcy this coming Monday. If they declare bankruptcy, then that means they won't have to pay this additional money to the Teamsters. The 22,000 Teamsters workers are about to get royally screwed, because now this is going to go into a bankruptcy, you know, proceeding and years and lawyers and all this nonsense. And by the way, with the company in bankruptcy, how are they going to operate? How are they going to have revenue? I mean, maybe it's a Chapter 11. They're going to reorganize and try to stay in business. But frankly, who's going to use Yellow if you know they're about to declare bankruptcy? You're not going to hand over pallets of stuff to Yellow thinking that, hey, on Monday, that whole company might just come to a standstill, grind to a halt, and your pallets are stuck in a Yellow warehouse while lawyers argue over money for the next 5 years with your pallet stuck in the warehouse, right? Because that's exactly what happens. So that's what it looks like. So the fact that Yellow has said, or at least this executive has said, they're going to declare bankruptcy means that every shipper in the country is going to say, well, don't use Yellow. Holy cow, you use Yellow, you know, your pallets might vanish into a giant legal black hole. So here's the next twist in this story, but this is going to affect all of us. The next twist from FreightWaves: in a meeting later Wednesday, the senior vice president told employees to backtrack on the bankruptcy statement. She was saying that she had to correct any customers that were previously told that there would be a bankruptcy, and instead to share the following statement. Okay, so far, this is like, we're going bankrupt on Monday, and then 5 minutes later, maybe not. You know, here it is. Quote, Yellow's talks with the IBT, I think that's the union, are ongoing, as previously stated, and in keeping with fiduciary responsibility of the company's executives, the company continues to prepare for a range of contingencies. Yeah, you know what that is code word for? A range of contingencies? Bankruptcy. That's what that means. Bankruptcy. So that's the only statement they're making now. Whoops! Looks like this sales executive let the cat out of the bag. And the cat is ugly. The cat's all wet and angry. And shrieking. Not a good scene. So, the upshot to all of us, of course, is that, well, the economy is suffering an engineered collapse. As a result of this engineered collapse, demand for freight has also fallen off a cliff. This is because of course, well, consumer demand is plummeting. Money is becoming more difficult to acquire. And by the way, the Federal Reserve just raised interest rates yet again, which we'll talk about, I hope. Another 25 basis points. Highest interest rates in over 20 years. Just happened. We're going to see more banks collapse, folks. But in the meantime, the economy is suffering a controlled demolition. As a result, Yellow has lost revenues. And so Yellow has a major cash flow problem, which is why they owe $50 million to the unions and the pensions and the benefits of their own workers. And it's why they're going to declare bankruptcy, according to their own executive, who later backtracked on that, but said, we're going to have a range of contingencies. Yeah. Well, what are your range of contingencies? Like what? You're going to burn the warehouses down or whatever? No, I hope not. Is that a contingency plan? Is that like, they think they're going to commit like insurance fraud and get paid with arson or something? Like burn it all down and file a claim. No, I don't think that's going to fly. You know, I think bankruptcy is the only option that remains here, because the unions aren't going to, you know, say, oh, don't worry about the 50 mil. No, that's not the way unions operate, is it? Especially the Teamsters. They're like, you owe us 50 mil. You're going to pay the 50 mil. If you don't pay, something bad's going to happen to your knees. You know, something like that. So, yeah, they're going to pay the 50 mil or declare bankruptcy one way or another. But this is headed for bankruptcy. So the upshot for all of us is that the supply chain just got a whole lot worse. So if you've been waiting for parts for your air conditioner system or for your vehicle repair or, I don't know, your consumer goods or whatever, you've been waiting for parts for something, prepare for that wait to get a whole lot worse because yellow's going down. And as a result, they're taking down a major logistics infrastructure. And with it, they're taking down, I mean, they're destroying a major infrastructure component of the United States of America. So this is not going to be good. Now, by the way, you may not know, but Reuters wrote about this back in 2020. President Trump bailed out Yellow with a $700 million pandemic relief loan. And in exchange, the federal government took a 30% stake in Yellow. So this is a... This is essentially, you know, partial, what, fascism. This is centrally planned economies. The government owns 30% of Yellow back in 2020. And then what happened? Well, everything just got worse because governments don't know how to run businesses, obviously. So now Yellow is bankrupt. So what's going to happen next? Are we going to have another bailout? Is the government just going to write fat checks to all the corporations that can't, you know, function? Like they did with the airlines during COVID? Is it just going to be government-run, you know, economic activity where even though the economy is collapsing, they just keep all these corporations alive with zombie payments? Here's a zombie check for $1 billion, about $500 billion, whatever it takes. Just keep the zombie corporations going so they can pretend like Bidenomics is actually working. Yeah, behold the wonderment of Bidenomics. The collapse will be artificially propped up with zombie stimulus checks to corporations. And we'll call it corporate welfare on steroids. Yeah, something like that is pretty much what's going on. In fact, here's a statement from one of the heads of the Teamsters union. And I gotta do this in the Teamsters dialect here. Following years of worker givebacks, federal loans, and other bailouts, this deadbeat company has only itself to blame for being in this embarrassing position, O'Brien said in a statement. Wait, Sean O'Brien. Okay, now I'm reading from the Reuters. Sean O'Brien. Gosh, I should have done that in an Irish voice. Following years of worker givebacks, federal loans, and other bailouts... This deadbeat company is only itself to blame for being in this embarrassing position, said O'Brien in a statement last week. Okay, but the bottom line is that even the union says Yellow sucks and Yellow's going bankrupt. So trying to add a little levity to the situation, but I think it's failing miserably. We need like an Irish mob boss accent. What would that sound like if you combine Irish? I don't even know if I can attempt that, but following years of work givebacks, I don't know how that goes now. Whatever. I hope he's a tough guy because the story also says O'Brien is leading negotiations covering 340,000 U.S. employees at UPS. Right? So UPS, you know, recently just averted a strike as well. The box movers of the country, not the pallet movers, but the box movers. This same guy, O'Brien, Sean O'Brien, he's negotiating for all 340,000 employees at UPS on top of Yellow. Man, do you realize that, sorry to be so crude, but kind of like America's balls are in this guy's hands and he's squeezing them. Oh my goodness. You know, the entire, infrastructure of package delivery and pallet delivery is in this guy's hands. And he's an Irish Teamsters, you know, tough talking dude, I would guess. I don't think he's probably not a snowflake, I'm guessing. He's probably a pretty tough dude. Hey, however bad that situation gets, by the way, could be worse. Could be like nipples peeling off because that's part of the headline of the next story. Quote, nipples literally peeling off, Texas detransitioner, that's a former trans who tried to go back, sues doctors for $1 million over botched surgery. Warning, some content in this story may be disturbing for readers. That's what the Daily Signal says here. So I'm just, you know, carrying out the warning here, repeating it. So this woman, I think woman, so confusing. Well, this woman who's now 21 years old filed a lawsuit in Texas. She alleges that her doctors behaved like ideologues instead of medical professionals, and they did not properly take her autism, depression, anxiety, and other comorbidities into account when they evaluated her for an attempted, quote, gender transition. Okay, so the complaint names all these doctors and people, Texas Health Physicians Groups, Three Oaks Counseling, and so on and so forth. And it says that all these defendants were involved in the pursuit of, quote, experimental gender-affirming medical therapies on this woman, quote, a vulnerable teenager struggling with a slew of mental health issues. Well, of course, that's what the trans cult targets, is teenagers with mental health issues. I'm not justifying it. I'm glad that she's filing a lawsuit. The suit says the repercussions of these interventions have led to this woman's permanent disfigurement and profound psychological scarring. Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they cut off things and they make bonus holes and things like that. It's not a pretty sight. And I'm not going to go into all the details here, except to say that according to the lawsuit, these physicians deliberately and recklessly propelled her down a path of permanent physical disfigurement and worsening psychological distress. Yeah, that's the trans cult. That's what they do. That's what they do. So, she had emergency post-surgical complications, it turns out. And the doctors downplayed the complications and said, that's all normal. And then she sent pictures of, I guess I'll go ahead and read this. Quote, pools of blood forming subcutaneously within her torso and her nipples literally peeling off of her chest and explaining the immense pain she was experiencing. And the doctors are like, that's totally normal. Just roll with that, basically. I mean, this is insane, but this is, you know, some surgeons are insane anyway, even when they're not doing transgender surgeries. You know, they'll tell you things like, it's no big deal. You'll be up and walking in a day. And actually the healing time is 4 months, you know, it's like, what? I've noticed that about surgeons and how they've dealt with people I know. They always give this wildly optimistic view. Yeah, it's nothing. It's like, have you ever undergone your surgery before? Because it's not nothing. It's a big deal. Anyway, this woman was butchered by these doctors, and she's suing. And the reason I cover this story is because I've even predicted this. We're going to see a wave of detransitioners suing doctors and hospitals, and I hope to God they win. I hope that they take these doctors and hospitals and counselors for every last penny that they ever had or earned. I hope that this woman wins this lawsuit because, you know, obviously it's demonic and evil and also unethical and unprofessional and cruel and all that to mutilate a teenager or a child or anybody just because you want them to have, you know, different organs or appendages or whatever. That's just insane. It's completely insane. And, of course, I support the criminal prosecution of the actual surgeons. So any surgeon that carries out transgender mutilations of children should be, in my opinion, they should be arrested, charged, and tried for a variety of felony crimes, including assault with a deadly weapon. That would be one of them. Conspiracy to commit assault with a deadly weapon. That would be another one. And who knows what else, you know, fraud and medical violations, whatever is appropriate. And let's prosecute these demons. And let's protect our children from them. But anyway, the lawsuits have begun. Now, speaking of demons, there was a video taken on an airplane. I don't know when this was taken, but it looks like the demons are coming out. The demons in some people, just I don't know, they're getting claustrophobic in the human skin bags or something. And they just really want to come out. And so here's a video of what looks like a demon. It's, man, this is like a demonic possession video. It's like She's trying to crawl on the ceiling of an airplane while other passengers are filming it. There's some profanity in this, so be warned, but I'll ask my editor to bleep it out. But check out this video. Demons walk among us, and they're trying not to touch the ground, by the way. Check this out. All right, I had to cut that off as enough of that. For a minute there, I thought she was going to scream, "I want my Obama phone," you know, something like that. But she wasn't looking for her Obama phone. She was climbing the ceiling of an airplane. And is that demonic or what? There's a lot of weird demonic stuff that seems to be coming out lately. There's some very disturbing things happening in our world right now. And some of it is clearly supernatural, not just drugs, but, you know, possession. All right, as proof that some very strange things are happening, there was the UFO congressional testimony that happened yesterday. Kind of some interesting things were said. Well, you could say some bombshell things were stated. Now, again, we don't know if this is part of some psychological operation or if this is a cover-up and these are whistleblowers or who's playing who. I don't know for sure, right? But listen to this testimony, because this guy says that the military recovered alien bodies from the UFO crashes, okay? Seriously. And he said this under oath in front of Congress yesterday. So listen to this, because that's what he just said. Check this out.
Intelligent extraterrestrials.
Something I can't discuss in public setting.
Okay, I can't ask when you think this occurred. If you believe we have crashed craft, stated earlier, do we have the bodies of the pilots who piloted this craft?
As I've stated publicly already in my News Nation interview, biologics came with some of these recoveries. Yeah.
Were they, I guess, human or non-human biologics?
Non-human, and that was the assessment of people with direct knowledge on the program I talked to that are currently still on the program.
And was this documentary evidence, this video, photos, eyewitness? Like, how would that be determined?
The specific documentation I would have to talk to you in a skiff about.
Gotcha. Yeah.
All right, did you catch that last part? She asked, like, what's the evidence of the alien bodies? Or the, quote, the biologics? That means aliens. And he said, I'd have talked to you about that in a skiff. You know, a skiff is a secure room, you know, top secret, confidential room that where nobody can bring phones in, and it's all Faraday cage protections and everything. So in other words, this is super, super top secret alien autopsy stuff, basically, is what he's saying. And, you know, just a couple of years ago, that would have been considered like some crazy fringe theory stuff by a lot of people, not everybody. But now it's part of congressional testimony. So what do you think this is, folks? Is disclosure finally coming out? Is this the truth coming out? Is this guy a real whistleblower? Or is he a plant? Is he a propagandist? Is this part of some big psyop to make people believe that aliens are in charge because something big is about to happen and they need some kind of globalist control that transcends humanity? So they need to say, like, you must obey the aliens because they're here now, or something like that. What do you think? Because I don't know. The one thing I do know is that whatever aliens are observing us are not that impressed. I've said that a few times, a few different ways. So, you know, part of me is questioning, like, well, what are they waiting for? And then the answer is, oh, they're not. The extermination agenda is underway. Oh, yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, but what do you think? I mean, some people think that aliens walk among us, that many so-called humans are actually hybrids, or And this is, you know, I've heard these theories. I think I've interviewed a few people over the years that talked about these kinds of things. That some of the globalists might be hybrids or something, they said. I don't know. But there's a lot of speculation, obviously. It's just that we've learned that the government itself, when official sources start pushing something out like this, you know, we've learned to question that because they're not trustworthy. How do we know they're lying? Because their lips are moving, right? That kind of thing. So I don't trust this. I don't trust it one bit. It looks a little too coordinated to me. And I don't think it's the real disclosure that a lot of people have been waiting for quite some time. But I'm trying to think. You know who I should get on to talk about this? Who was the guest I had on about exopolitics before? And you know what? Look, if you're listening to this and you're an expert on this, reach out to me. Because we need some interpretation from people who know. So yeah, just go ahead and reach out. If you have my number, text me. We got to figure out what's going on here. And by the way, if you're wondering how quickly a lot of humans are becoming obsolete, check this out. This is a story on Natural News. Mainstream media journalists are now obsolete. Google tests new AI tool that can write news stories and replace obedient journo propagandists. Yeah, I actually wrote that headline. As you might be able to tell. But here's the thing. It's true that Google's got a new AI tool, and it can write the news. Now, what's important to note about this is that it can write the news in the way that obedient, you know, propagandists would write the news. In other words, it can replace pretty much all the writers of the New York Times and the Washington Post, because they're just writing scripts and press releases, and They're not thinking for themselves. They're not doing anything unique or innovative. They're algorithmic. They just basically write whatever they're told to write. And so that's easy to replace with AI. So all these journalists that work for the corporate media and the left-wing rags and so on, they're obsolete. No one needs them anymore. Because Google can replace them, or open-source AI systems can replace them. Look at ChatGPT, for example. Generative AI can write most of the stories that most of the media is putting out there. But you know what AI can't do? It can't really think for itself. It can just kind of reorganize and regurgitate whatever woke-tard BS it's been taught, which is what Google does with its AI systems. It teaches the AI that men can get pregnant and that carbon dioxide is a poison for the planet, things like that. So the AI just regurgitates the same lies as the woke-tards that programmed it. Whereas, who will never be obsolete are people who think for themselves. And you're only going to find that, by definition, in the independent media, which is what we're part of. So Google AI can never replace, you know, Alex Jones. Google AI can never replace myself or even Tucker Carlson or people who think for themselves. They can't be replaced. And you, as a consumer of news, it'll be very easy to tell coming up soon what's AI written versus what's real, because the AI news will just be the news that spouts all the same lies that the human NPCs have been spouting this whole time anyway. You know, like, oh, Ukraine's winning. You know, carbon dioxide's bad for the planet. Climate change is going to destroy us all. Trump led an insurrection to try to overthrow the country. Joe Biden won. He's the most popular president in history. You know, all these lies. When you see those, starting soon, it's just AI, AI, AI. It's just regurgitating the same garbage. Oh, and vaccines are all good for you, and they work great, and everybody should have them. And yeah, gender-affirming care. You know, all children should be mutilated with the trans cult. You know, that's what the AI systems are going to actually push out there. So it'll be very easy to spot them. But here's the question. What are all these left-wing journalists going to do for jobs after they are obsolete and they get replaced? What are they going to do? Learn to code? Huh? No, because the AI systems can also write code. So there's nowhere for these lunatic fascist liars and propagandists to go. So what are they going to do? I don't know. They go leap off tall buildings or something. What are they going to do? Call for universal basic income? Sit around and do nothing and collect money on their central bank digital currency biometric iris scan mark of the beast system? Is that what they're going to do? Probably. Because they can no longer contribute anything to the human race. Think about it. People who are obedient followers, they're NPCs. Also, I call them NPCs, non-player characters. They contribute nothing to the future of humanity. They have nothing to offer. When they go away, nothing will change. If they were to remove themselves, nothing would change. You know, I mean, they talk about the butterfly effect. You've seen that in sci-fi movies and so on. Like, one little thing this person did had this huge wave of events that affected the ripple of time and cause and effect for generations to come, right? Obedient idiots, they don't have butterfly effects because nothing that they do matters for the future of the world. If they cease to exist, nothing changes. It's like the no butterfly effect. Like, you know some of these people. You can even say to them, if you died tomorrow, nothing would change and no one would care. No one would even miss you. The future of humanity might even be better. I mean, there's a lot of people like that, right? And some of them pretend to be journalists. And they're obsolete as of right now. Think about that. Some people have like a reverse butterfly effect, right? Everything's worse because they exist. You know, it's funny, Hillary Clinton, speaking of which, she said the other day, she was saying that Texas is so hot because of climate change. And there a lot of people responded to that with some comments on her videos. One comment was, where you're going, it's a lot hotter. I thought that was the best reply ever. All right, moving on to financial news. CNBC.com reports Fed approves hike that takes interest rates to highest level in more than 22 years. The quarter percentage point increase will bring the Fed funds rate to a target range of 5.25% to 5.5%. So, of course, this is all more engineered demolition of the economy, obviously. And it's, you know, they say they're doing this to fight inflation. But inflation is caused by all the money printing. Primarily, increase in the money supply, which dilutes the value of the dollars that you already have. So, of course, product prices go higher and higher and so on. So they're just hiking interest rates instead of stopping the money printing machine, because basically they need to cause massive unemployment, economic implosion, and bankruptcies, like with Yellow Freight, in order to lower consumer demand and thereby bring down prices of consumer goods. That's their plan. It's kind of like, remember how yesterday I was talking about some people take these crazy weight loss drugs like Ozempic instead of eating healthier? Like they still want to have, you know, the Pop-Tarts and the ice cream all the time. And instead of dealing with maybe a dietary choice, they just say, well, I still want to eat all that crap stuff, but let me take a drug to try to counteract some of that, you know, instead of actually solving the core root of the problem. And then as a result, something horrible happens, like, you know, all these women are vomiting multiple times a day now, even after they stop taking the drug, because it just ruined their digestion system, according to those women. This is kind of what the Fed is doing with interest rates. So instead of going after the core cause of the problem, which is money printing, equivalent to junk food consumption. So it's junk money. It's junk money counterfeiting. Instead of solving that problem, they just want to collapse the economy and crush everybody's ability to buy anything in order to pretend that the symptoms of inflation no longer exist, which is kind of in the same way that Big Pharma's drugs like to mask the symptoms of depression or high blood pressure or whatever. You know, it's like high blood pressure drugs. They don't actually resolve the core reason why a person has high blood pressure. All they do is artificially weaken the heart. So, like, your blood is still all sludgy and barely circulating, but they'll just kind of slow down the heart rate slow down the pressure a little bit, so it just doesn't show as high of blood pressure. But your blood still sucks, by the way. You know, because a drug is not going to change the fact that you're eating all these fried foods and canola oil and hydrogenated oils, and your blood basically flows like molasses. You know, a drug is not going to change that, but it sure does mask the symptom of high blood pressure, which is known as the disease. And then Big Pharma does this, kind of a side note, but Big Pharma takes a symptom and names it, makes it a disease. Like, there's a disease called high blood pressure. It's not a disease. It's a measurement. That's a symptom. There's no such thing as a disease of high blood pressure in reality, but they try to convince people that's a disease. And so they treat the disease by lowering the blood pressure. This is the same way, again, what the Fed is doing, treating the disease of inflation by weakening the economy. It's like treating the disease of high blood pressure by weakening the heart. You see, I know I kind of mixed a few metaphors in there, but you get the point. This is like destroying the patient to cure the disease. And that's what the Fed is doing. So, and they may even raise rates yet again, but even this rate raise is going to cause, in the months ahead, more banks to go bankrupt. More banks are going down in America. You can, well, bank on it. That's exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be more panic. And when that happens, by the way, people are going to panic into gold and silver yet again, which currently very few people are buying gold and silver because it's just not on anybody's mind at the moment. But soon, when the bank failures start rippling through the system, man, you won't even be able to get the phone answered at a gold and silver retailer. That's why it's important to get out of the banking system now, in my opinion, and get into things like gold and silver and crypto while you still can, while the exits still function. And by the way, our sponsor in the gold and silver space, I've mentioned them before, but it's worth repeating here, is called the Treasure Island Precious Metals and Coins Company. And you can find them at metalswithmike.com. And note that I do not earn a commission, but they are our sponsor of various podcasts, including this one. And they will give you honest, ethical prices and delivery, discreet delivery, guaranteed, insured. They treat you fairly, and you can check their prices in real time on their website. Just go to metalswithmike.com to get metals now before the panic, if it's appropriate for you. Do your own research on that, of course. But now we're going to talk about a victim of the banking system, which is Dr. Joseph Mercola. So this is making big news. And here's a headline from reclaimthenet.org, although we're also going to cover this at naturalnews.com. Chase Bank shuts accounts of natural health advocate Dr. Joseph Mercola, refuses to say why. And they also shut down the accounts of staff members and their family members. That's what's creepy about this. Here's the story. In a recent wave of unexpected closures, J.P. Morgan Chase has terminated a number of bank accounts associated with Florida-based health retailer Mercola Market, along with the personal accounts of its employees and their families. That's, I believe, Stephen Rye and his wife were also, their bank accounts were shut down as well. Yeah, I think that's mentioned in the article. The firm's owner, Dr. Joseph Mercola, is known for his criticism of COVID-19 vaccines and promotion of natural health. Well, yeah, of course, Dr. Mercola has been targeted for censorship, as I have been. You know, arguably, before COVID, I think he and I, and maybe a couple other people, were the most influential in the world of natural health and nutrition and warning people about the dangers of pharmaceuticals and so on. And that's why we've all been deplatformed. So J.P. Morgan Chase just says, we're just going to shut down your accounts. They weaponized their banking system against people that they want to punish. This should be illegal. This, in fact, I think Dr. Mercola and Stephen Rye and his wife and everybody affected by this should file a lawsuit. And I, knowing Mercola, I think he will file a lawsuit, by the way. And I think they're going to sue J.P. Morgan Chase for violating their civil rights. And they should. And so they even show the letter that says from J.P. Morgan Chase, quote, "After careful consideration, we decided to close your accounts because of unexpected activity on this or another Chase account. Unexpected activity. You mean using banking services? Because, you know, that's what I'm dealing with Robinhood, by the way, right now. Robinhood, I created an account and bought some crypto on Robinhood. This is a couple of weeks ago now. And then Robinhood froze everything. And so did Gemini, by the way. And I've almost given up trying to resolve it with Gemini. But with Robinhood, they're like, oh, we froze your account. You need to call us and it's a security incident. And you know what the security incident is? I just use Robinhood to buy crypto, which is exactly what they want you to do with their platform. It's like these banks, if you use banking services, they consider that to be suspicious. They're insane. You know, it's crazy. It's like if you were a taxi cab company and every time somebody got your taxi cab, you're like, what are you doing getting in my cab? You're a taxi cab. Well, it doesn't mean you can just get in here. I'm going to interrogate you now. Why do you want to use a taxi cab service? You know, that's what these banks are like. You know, you open up an account, you start using the bank. You're like, why do you want to use a bank? What? I thought you're a bank for banking services, but apparently not. So this is why I'm encouraging people to get out of the banking system. And this is why I'm doing so myself and get into, you know, crypto and other things. Because in crypto, you can send money, you can receive money, you can pay, you can earn, you know, and it's all under your custody and your control. And I'm sure this point is well realized by Dr. Joseph Mercola as well, because he's a pretty sharp cookie. And he knows that as well. But most people have to, you know, most people pay in credit cards or cash. So you have to have merchant services. You have to have fiat bank accounts in order to function in the world right now until the fiat system collapses. And so they use JP Morgan Chase, and Chase has just basically debanked them. So this is another case of a bank targeting someone because of their personal beliefs. And CEO Stephen Rai said that Chase's decision has also banned his children from holding bank accounts in the future. The bank is like, okay, Mr. Stephen Rai, not only are you banned and your wife is banned and forevermore your offspring are banned and their offspring are banned. It's like your whole genetic line is banned from Chase, you know? JP Morgan Chase. The history of JP Morgan, World War II, the corruption, collusion, all this, yeah. Of course. So I think that all of us should boycott JP Morgan Chase over this, frankly. And I've said before, I have an account with Chase, and I'm anticipating that they're going to debank me. Would not be surprised if they do that. I had left the account open because I also said that it's good to have at least one account with a globalist bank so that if you need to move money around, you're able to do so. And the globalist banks will probably have the most globalist protection, so there's a reason to have an account. But try to have one somewhere other than Chase, and I think I'll do the same. I think I'm about done with Chase, but I don't know. I'll leave it open to see if they close it on me first. How about that? Just see if they weaponize it against me. I bet they will. And by the way, if anybody from the Mercola team is listening, we're going to reach out to you also, but we'd love to have Dr. Mercola on for an interview if he wants to talk about this and the censorship lawsuits and other things that are going on. But this is some Orwellian fascist stuff that's going on here. The targeting of Joseph Mercola, the targeting of Ty and Charlene Bollinger, the targeting of Sayer G., you know, the targeting of Dr. Mercola, Robert Malone, all of us in alternative or independent media, we've all been targeted, we've been deplatformed, we've been debanked. But, you know, I was, of all those names, I was the first to be deplatformed everywhere. And I do recall that when I was being deplatformed, and it was me and Alex Jones, you know, a couple of us, that was about it. I do recall that nobody else seemed to give a crap, by the way. Very few people stood up when I was being censored, Sean from SGT Report, he stood up for me, good guy. But very few people did. And then, of course, the censorship just accelerated and got crazy. And now it's everybody. And now at this point, people see how big the problem is. But I was sounding the alarm years ago, and nobody listened because they thought, oh, it wouldn't happen to them. And now it has happened, you know, to everybody. Everybody who tells the truth anyway. So anyway, there we go. Weaponization of the banking system. You can't trust the banks. Just another demonstration right here. Note for the record that JP Morgan Chase is happy to offer banking services to child mutilators, i.e. surgeons, who slice up and dice up the breasts and genitals of children. Oh, they'd be well welcomed at Chase. Oh, you mutilate children, yeah, bank here. But whoa, if you teach nutrition, oh, now we can't have you associated with our bank. Might be a reputation risk if you help people heal. Now, Dr. Joseph Mercola, all you have to do is stop selling vitamins and start slicing up little children, then you'd be welcome at Chase Bank, you see? You'll be welcome to roll out the red carpet VIP treatment. You know, come on back, slice them and dice them, and come on in, and we'll give you loans and a line of credit so you can buy more scalpels to slice up the genitalia of more children. You know, that's no doubt that conversation is happening inside the boardroom at JP Morgan Chase right now. I mean, they're happy to work with, you know, just straight up murderers. I mean, Jeffrey Epstein, does that ring a bell? And, you know, child molesters and rapists. And, that's all good with JP Morgan Chase. Just can't have somebody that wants you to maybe not die from cancer, you see. Somebody that knows something about superfoods. Can't have that. Unbelievable. Now I know why they're called Chase. Because that's what they do to all the good customers. They chase them away. We're going to chase your ass out of here. If you do something good for society, you're chased away from the lobby. If you do something bad for society, if you're a globalist, if you're into extermination, depopulation, genocide, grooming, child sex trafficking, you're welcome to come to Chase. No joke. That's literally what it is. Hey, could I say something controversial for a change? I saw there's a relatively new movie with Jamie Foxx in it. And, you know, there's been a lot of controversy about Jamie Foxx and vaccines and strokes and whatever. And I've been a little critical, but also praying for his recovery. But there's a new movie. It's called They Cloned Tyrone. And the movie's good. There's a lot of profanity in it. I mean, it's almost every other word. But if you can get past the profanity, the movie is actually very well made and it's funny. And Jamie Foxx was great. And I mean, look, no one can argue. Jamie Foxx is super talented. The man just has raw talent like nobody's business. And that's why people love him, because he's so funny. He plays kind of like a 1980s pimp. And in this movie, he and this hoe and this drug dealer, and they're all black characters, and they find that they're living in a town where mad scientists are running medical experiments and cloning experiments on black people. And so, you know, there's an element of real truth to that the film, you know, explores. And they even had a white guy with an afro in there who was one of the lab scientists who got shot. It's like they put a white dude with an afro. But the film is surprisingly well done, you know, good pacing, good photography. I think Jamie Foxx is one of the producers of the film, I believe. Again, it's not a family-friendly film, not by any means. But if you want a good laugh and you want to see some good talent on screen, go see They Cloned Tyrone, and you will laugh. I laughed all the way through that movie. I thought it was the funniest thing I've seen in a long time. So good job, Jamie. Hey, by the way, I've got a new special video interview with Steve Quayle that just went live. It's called America's Final Curtain Call. And it shows why, in Steve's assessment, America is done. It's not coming back. This is not the optimistic view. It's America's done. The collapse is accelerating, and there's no saving it at this point. It's going to collapse, and then maybe the whoever survives can rebuild it. But we're not going to turn this thing around with the next election, because the next election is already going to get rigged anyway. You know that. Yeah, the media is all rigged. Academia is all rigged. The big tech's rigged. The speech is rigged. It's all rigged. It's all total control, authoritarian dictatorship system. Fascism is in place right now. So the United States of America, as we know it, is done. The Constitutional Republic is done. Doesn't mean it can't be rebirthed in some way from a birthing person. No, I'm kidding. Rebirth politically in some way it can, but this system is done. You can see it just by looking at the cities. Just look at the rising violent crime. Look at the lunacy at the White House and Joe Biden talking about how he cured cancer. The guy's a lunatic. He's an Alzheimer's patient. And he's probably wearing diapers up there. You know, it's done. He's done. The whole empire is done. The currency's done. The military's done. You know, it's all done. But if you want to know why, you want the details of this, watch the special report. It's free, of course. It's a little over an hour and 30 minutes. Also, somewhat entertaining as well. Steve and I cover a lot of interesting topics, so check it out. It's free. It's on Brightown.com, of course. It's on my channel. And you'll find it on Rumble and BitChute. It's called America's Final Curtain Call with Mike Adams and Steve Quayle. So check that out. All right, now then, for today, we're going to run the interview with Mike Colomb. He is with the PMA team, and he helps people form private membership associations, and he also helps them defend the PMAs against overzealous government regulators that like to challenge these PMAs, and often, most of the time, they fail. But occasionally, PMAs end up in court and bad things happen. But if you know what to do, you can defend your PMA. And that's part of what this interview is all about. So it's Mike Colomb with the PMAteam.club. That interview is coming up next. Be sure to check out our online store, healthrangerstore.com, for superfoods, nutrition, storable foods, all lab-tested, almost all certified organic products. Pretty decent inventory still for the moment, but it is dwindling because of the surge of purchases, you know, because of the rice shortage and the corn collapse, the wheat problems. You know, look, food's becoming more scarce, and so more people are buying food products right now. So if you want to get some, get it now, healthrangerstore.com. We thank you for your support. And again, if you're interested in gold and silver, check out metalswithmike.com. So that's a sponsorship for today. Now enjoy the interview with Mike Colomb, and I'll be with you tomorrow with some more fascinating interviews. We've got a couple coming up that I think you'll really like. So thanks for listening. Here we go. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. You're going to love this one because have you heard about PMAs or private membership associations? They're being used, they're a vehicle under common law, I believe, that's being used by people all over the country and even around the world in order to protect privacy and to protect rights of individuals to interact with each other and to engage in sometimes trade and commerce with each other in private organizations. And so our guest today is Mike Colomb, and he's the founder of a website that focuses on PMAs and other things, and it's called therenegadenation.org. Yeah, I got it. Therenegadenation.org is the website, and he joins us today to talk about PMAs and so much more. Welcome, Mike. It's great to have you on the show with us.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me here. Appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. This is exciting because, as I was just mentioning in the pre-show talk, seems like everybody I know is in the process of forming a PMA in one way or another. It's like suddenly it's sweeping across the nation. So could, for those you know, that don't understand what is a PMA, let's say, could you just give us a quick version? What is this and why is it suddenly so popular?
You bet. So, I mean, they've been around a long time. Coming out of Prohibition probably is when it started, when we had counties in Texas and Oklahoma and in Utah where they were not allowed to sell any alcohol because they stayed dry. And the bars and restaurants and the owners there, they said, no way, we're going to continue to do this. And they developed the PMA's structure to be able to operate in a private. And the whole thing, our Constitution, our Supreme Court precedences that we have allow us to operate in a private. And that's the whole thing, is that there's basically two sets of laws, one for the public, one for the private. And that's not my viewpoint. That's one of the judges in a Supreme Court ruling that states that. And we get to operate in a private in a different domain. So you have your public jurisdictions where they have their rules, regulations, statutes, and codes, and then you have private. And you think of it, really easy essence is to think about, yeah, I'm operating, my wife and I are at your home, and we're having a glass of wine, we're eating dinner, and our friend Joe comes in, and Joe brings a case of wine, and we sit down, and we like one of the bottles, and I want to buy one. I say, hey, Joe, I want to buy a bottle of wine. And Joe says, yeah, no problem. And he sells me that bottle of wine. We don't need the county or the city or the state to be able to tell us whether I can buy that bottle of wine from Joe or not. We do that, and that's called a private transaction. Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution affords us the ability to do unlimited business transactions, period, without the interaction of the state and or our neighbor. So
okay.
That's how and why we're able to do these things.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And what you're talking about and what a lot of people I know are doing is just doing it at a little larger scale than just two or three people, right? A private membership organization can be hundreds of people, thousands of people. There's no, you know, legal size limit, is there?
You know, it's in people's mind, I think. And and that's a debatable piece for me to think about. I've had people say, well, you know, private is private and it's small by being private. But, you know, it doesn't really have to be. Where does it say that? That's somebody's idea in their head. There's no structure or rule. It's basically our Supreme Court and our Constitution and our God-given rights give us the ability to do what we're doing today. And unfortunately, today, with the public jurisdiction being the way it is, they kind of forced us into this hole of being in a private membership association, and to be able to show, hey, this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing it, and we're legal to do it. Yeah. So now we're just invoking our rights. And I think that, you know, we didn't have to do this 100 years ago. You know, why should we have to do it today? I guess because the perceived authority thinks that they have power and control in everything, every single aspect of our life, every day.
Yeah, exactly. But it's great that these tools exist. And so I think, isn't it part of what you offer to people is a service to help them set up a PMA? Or what's even required? Do you just declare it? I mean, you just, a PMA now. I mean, what do you do?
So what we do is we actually write documents. We write articles of association because, in essence, what a private membership association really is an unincorporated association. Yeah, because we want to interact with the public when we do this, and to pull people into the private, we need a bank account, which is public. We need an EIN, which is public, all these things. So we have to figure out how to operate that, and it's operated through an unincorporated association. So we developed that document. We developed the charter bylaws. Yeah, I mean, if you want to be a church ministry, we do a lot of churches. They're set up as 508c1a ministries. And you have to actually operate as a church and do those things. So yeah, there's definitely criteria on that one. And then we offer, the other document we do is the membership application, which allows people to get all the people to sign the membership agreement. And that's the important part of it.
Right. So then once you help people set up all these documents, then are they able to go open bank accounts based on these articles of association?
You bet. You take the articles and the bylaws and you get an EIN first. EIN process is very simple. We do it online today. Get the EIN, and then I give you a little banking document that helps you open a bank account. And then you get your EIN and go right to the bank, open your bank account. And then you can operate in commerce. Yeah, and we're really not in commerce, if you really think about it. We're in trade, right, because we're in the private. So right. We don't operate in commerce. So we pull people out of commerce, and we pull them into private trade.
Well, okay, so that's fascinating, because here's a question that, I mean, this is kind of bombshell news here for everybody watching and perhaps for you as well. But you know, I've launched a new show called Decentralize.tv, and frankly, I'd like to have you back on that show. That's with my co-host, Todd Pittner, and it's all about decentralized living. And you know, frankly, we probably should have done this interview for that show, but we'll have you back if you're open to it. But
love to.
What I'm hearing from all these people that are setting up PMAs is the following question, which Todd and I are working on a solution with top-level people around the world. that the people setting up these PMAs, they want to have their own digital currency within the PMA. And they're asking me, what can we use to create our own digital currency? And I currently know three platform ecosystems that are, two of them are blockchain-based, that can allow people to do that. But it's not a simple thing. I mean, you have to think about tokenomics and so on. But talk to us about, if you would, what you understand about using your own, you know, association currency. It doesn't even have to be digital. I mean, couldn't an association just print its own wooden nickels, so to speak, and just use those, just decide that we're going to use these amongst ourselves as a kind of trade of value? Isn't that legal?
Oh, it is. You just can't put a dollar denomination on there, right? You can put a five or a one or a 10 or a 100 on it. Yeah, that's a federal offense. The Fed owns everything, right? So yeah, that wouldn't be what you want to do, but you could do it for value of some type in structure. And that's what's nice about silver and gold, right? Because it's by the ounce or by the weight or whatever piece, you know, it's by weight, period. And I think that we're going to see a lot of that popping up where a lot of organizations are using gold and silver. I have a lot of people pay me in silver, a bunch.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah, you bet. A lot of people send me silver or cash. I've had a few people send me gold. We don't do credit cards anymore. The grocery store, we had an issue with our grocery store where we got a large deposit. And they didn't like it. They went ahead and paid that, and then they held our account for 93 days.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
It's ridiculous, you know. So and then just getting out of that whole system and that scenario, we take it online for one item only, or basically two, the membership agreements on the Renegade Nation. That's it. I don't take them inside the store for any of the things that we do. And we do a lot of different stuff besides PMAs. You know, and we don't take them for anything. So it's all cash basis.
Well,
and one with a check also.
You got to get on board with the privacy crypto, I'm telling you, because
I agree.
Yeah, like Monero, and we know about some projects that are quite amazing. And first of all, we can transfer value instantly.
Yep.
And secondly, because they're privacy coins, no agency, nobody can know what your wallet balance is or who you sent to or who you receive from. And yet you can still trade Monero for cash, or you can trade Monero for gold or whatever. I mean, Monero is the number one privacy coin right now, but I think this is why a lot of PMAs are asking me this very question about crypto. Like, they want to create their own token, because gold and silver are absolutely wonderful face-to-face in person, but then some of these PMAs involve people from a very wide geographic area, and they need a system. And some of them are just using Monero right now, but they want their own.
You got to be able to go to the grocery store and buy groceries.
Right? Yeah.
The true real system is you need to be able to go outside of your system to be able to use that money somewhere else. Inside of a PMA is great, but then how big is that PMA going to be, right? And the people that are there to shop, but it'd be really nice to have a currency that you can go outside anywhere you want to with it, like a debit card.
Exactly.
There are systems that are out there that are being built, and I'll talk to you about one offline that's coming that you're going to see pretty quick that's going to be amazing. And it is structured. It's backed by gold. It is absolutely incredible.
Oh, I'd love to hear about that. And along those lines, by the way, gold backs, right? So I hear about a lot more people using gold backs because the gold is actually embedded in the actual bill, and people can trade those. And, you know, the one doesn't mean $1. It means 1/1,000th of an ounce of gold.
Right.
Pretty cool.
It is very cool. And this way to run that Fed rule, right?
Yeah. Cause it's not denominated in dollars. It's denominated in essentially grains or something close to grains. But tell me about your system. What were you going to talk about, some other system?
Oh, so it's called IPMB. And you can go on my website, on the renegadenation.org website, and you can go, there's a spot for it. We're going to actually put that in probably, today is Tuesday, probably by the end of the week, beginning of next week, it'll be on there listed, and you'll be able to go right into it and look at it and basically reach out to me and or one of the owners of it. So,
but what is it?
It's a gold company that has, they're backing all their tokens with gold. Their NFTs are all backed by gold, physical gold in vaults around the world.
So you can purchase NFTs and they're backed by gold. Can you then, I guess people could exchange the NFTs with each other as if, you know, basically receipts for gold is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, you can, but you can also store it in and get a debit card with it. You can put it in an account and pull a debit card out of your wallet. You can do whatever you want to with your wallet, and you can do a lot of stuff with it. It's going to have a lot of flexibility. Yeah, it is actually, the entire thing is very, very ingenious in the way it's set up.
Is it based on Bitcoin?
No, it's based on just their gold NFTs.
Really?
It's their own It's their own crypto system that they put together, complete 100%. It's getting ready to be dumped on Coinbase. They've been working with Brian Armstrong over there, and there it's right there. It's ready to rock and roll. Probably going to see it roll out in 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, this is fascinating. Can you trade the NFTs? Can you redeem them for the physical gold?
And there is going to be a point where you can do that. Yes, you bet. You can buy physical gold
at some point. But you're saying maybe not
right now.
Not right out of the gate.
Not right out of the gate.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You're going to own the coins, the cryptocurrency pieces of it, and the NFTs. You can have any size NFT you want as far as that goes as well. All the tokens are all going to be, I think, a certain amount of grams, and then all the NFTs can be actually minted to whatever you want them to be, and you can actually own those and store them in your own.
I see. So I'm on the website right now, ipmb.io, and here it is. It talks about the gold backing. This is the first time hearing about this. From the mine to the cloud, the tokenization of gold. Okay. Well, fascinating.
So right now, until it opens, because you can't go buy it yet on Coinbase, it's not going to be there for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yep.
I can offer, and I have offered to me friends and family, and I can get that out to anybody I want to across the board. Doesn't matter however much or however little you want. Well, actually, it starts at 10K, but however much you want is well above that. But you need to contact me and go through me in order to get that. And then instead of it being it's going to roll out at $2 to $250, and they're offering it right now at $100. So you can get through me and I can get it to you for $100. As soon as it's going to go at $2,250.
Okay. I don't understand all that, because I think if it's just backed by gold, wouldn't it just be tied to the price of an ounce of gold?
Yes. There's way more involved in it than that.
Okay.
A whole bunch more. Because the trading platform and all the things they're doing, it goes way beyond that. And they're, you're going to see some movement on it.
Okay. All right. Well, interested to learn more.
Website and you look at stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe offline you can introduce us so we could look at maybe having them on the show. Decentralized TV could be an interesting conversation, because I love gold and silver and private digital money all at the same time. So if you can maybe combine those, that's interesting. But anyway, let's not make the show entirely about them. I apologize. Yeah. Let's go back to your site, The Renegade Nation. So, all right, in addition to the PMA consulting or service that you offer, do you help people defend their PMAs when they are attacked by local county authorities? How about that?
I do. Yes, we do indeed. I started off and 2.5 years ago protecting ourselves, and I ended up hiring an attorney at first. And after about a month, I was taken to court. And after about a month, I said, I can do a better job, and I do what I want to do with this. So I ended up firing my attorney and then went direct. And the judge is like, oh, you shouldn't do that. You don't know what you're getting into. And they cautioned me, every single time we went in there, they cautioned me about it. And then basically 2 times ago when we went in court before they switched to the new judge, because it was actually going to go to trial, the judge, she looked at the DA and she goes, I think you're going to be really surprised on how this case is going to turn out, to the DA. And then the next judge is the one who threw it out. I've got about, out of the hundreds of PMAs we have across the board, most of the country, most of our PMAs are in the medical profession, either doctors or nurses or clinics or, some form of medicine and healing. We have about 23 or 24 different people or businesses that have been attacked in the last, 2.5 years. And all the ones that stayed with me to help them, we help them through with what's called the administrative process. I've helped them all the way through it, and they've come out clean, and they just go away, kind of like sweep them under the rug, just like they did with my case. I handled my case differently. I wanted to put mine in court because I won that court case precedence, which they wouldn't allow me to get. And the rest of them, they just go away. The only two people or two businesses that I wasn't successful in, they both midway through, or actually right at the beginning, they decided to hire an attorney, and then they're in there fighting with an attorney right now.
So wait a second. You're saying that the courts, they sweep this under the rug. Explain more, because it sounds like you're saying the courts don't want a case to be decided so that there's a precedent set about PMAs.
Yeah, we have old precedences. And when I brought up those old precedences in the courtroom, I put it in basically a motion to dismiss our case. And in that piece of it, the DA came back the judge came back, and she asked the DA, what do you think? And then the DA goes, well, those are all laws we don't use anymore. And I started laughing. I mean, it's like, it was a joke. And I said, I object, and I'm going to appeal this. And the judge goes, well, I tend to agree with her on, and those are just laws that we don't tend to use anymore. And I said, well, I'm appealing this case. And she said, you have every right to. And they understood that I was not going to just roll over and stop fighting them. And then they asked me the next time I came in court, the first thing they said is that, can you guys get to an understanding and just kind of take care of this on your own? And you know, you guys can figure it out. And I go, absolutely. I go, all I need is a letter from the DA apologizing and to throw my case out and I'm good.
You know, the other thing that strikes me in all of this is that, and this was pointed out to me by a guest that I interviewed last week, is that every attorney and every judge is a member of a private membership association called the Bar Association.
Yes, 100%. And they're all committed, and that's their first line of responsibility. It's not to the client, it's to the Bar Association.
Right. So that's a private group. It's not a government organization of any kind. It's no one's ever been publicly elected to run the Bar Association.
The DNC, the RNC, all those are all private membership associations as well.
Yes, exactly. So here it is, you know, rules for thee, but not for me, right?
Okay, there you go. That perceived authority, right? We can do whatever we want to do and you're our slaves.
Exactly. Now,
that happens because people just let them do it. It's not because they took it away or changed stuff. We just allow it to happen. And then time goes on and then it becomes acceptable.
Right.
It's sad.
You mentioned that a lot of your clients are running healthcare or medicine or wellness centers. So could you explain what's the use of PMAs under those conditions? Is it because they're doing alternative treatments or what is it all about?
That's part of it. I mean, during COVID is probably when I started doing that the most, where we got a bunch of nurses who were helping with COVID and lost their jobs. I had a bunch of doctors and nurses lose their jobs over COVID because they wouldn't get vaccinated, right? So the PMA, we allowed them to put a PMA in place and be able to operate. I had probably, I don't know, 30 or 40 nurses running around during COVID helping patients across the country with what they needed to do to help them rather than let them go in the hospital and get killed. And we had a bunch of doctors doing the same thing. So I had one of the doctors came to me. He was an MD and he had lost his license for basically speaking the truth about COVID. And a friend of his, a doctor on Facebook, said something and then he agreed with it. And then the state saw that somehow. So we turned him in and they took away his license in about 3 weeks.
Wow. You know, just for agreeing with a tweet.
Just for agreeing with something. And then So we put him in a PMA and he went right back to work. Yeah. The thing is that there is a Supreme Court precedence that states, and it's called NAACP versus Button. And in that precedence, what happened is we had the NAACP they had members of their group were helping people that weren't members of that group out in the community and to be able to protect themselves from the law and the bad law portion of it and for coming after them for different things. And the state of Alabama didn't like that. And what they did was they took them to court and then because they said these people were being solicited and being helped by non-attorneys, which is a federal crime, right?
Uh-huh.
In their books, the way they set it up in their jurisdiction with their, you know, their rules and regulations and statutes and codes. And they basically took it all the way to Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, hey, you know what? What you need a license for in the public, if you're in the private, you don't need a license. And which allowed attorneys that are allowed people to operate as an attorney who weren't attorneys. So with that precedence, allows doctors to operate and do their practice without a license. So there's doctors. I put PMAs, a couple, typically the people who don't have to prescribe, that don't need a license. I've got multiples of chiropractors who came in and they're functional medicine doctors, right? That actually know how to heal bodies and help people. And they didn't need to prescribe anything. So they threw their license away. The day we wrote the yep. PMA, gone, didn't need it.
Well, that's fascinating because the state medical licensing boards are, it's just a cartel of big pharma criminals.
Exactly. Yep.
As far as I'm concerned, I mean, even the Texas Medical Board, it's an absolute joke. It's run by big pharma. And of course, they wield the state licensing boards as a bludgeon over doctors to control their speech. We saw that during COVID, just like the example you gave. If a doctor even tries to prescribe ivermectin, which save lives. And I've used ivermectin so many times over the last several years. And yet if you prescribed ivermectin, they could take your license away. Or if you question the vaccine, they could take your license away. So the state medical boards are not about protecting the public. They're actually at this point, they're about protecting the monopoly over medicine.
It's big pharma. It's all exactly what it is, monopoly over medicine. It's control. That's just one aspect of the control over our lives, right? We have the medical, we have the food, and then we have the education. And it's those three bases. That's what they attack the most of, because those are the things that everybody needs every day. And we lost freedoms in that, right? Where people just gave them up. And it's amazing to see how this country of strong, free-willed people, the majority just folded when they said jump. They said, okay, how high and how many times?
Yeah.
And it's sad. Fortunately, there's enough people to stay strong and to help lead other people. Because let's face it, most people don't like confrontation. And they will, but as soon as you get enough people out there to show a precedence, then they'll jump on board, which is what we needed to do.
So it seems to me that the PMA structure is a very successful model for all kinds of things. And it could really revolutionize the way that people interact with each other for things like services. But even in commerce, like you said, you keep mentioning this grocery store. Did you have a PMA grocery store, and was it selling, raw milk, raw cheese, things like that?
Yeah. We opened our grocery store right in the heart of what was going on with COVID. And in that store, we had raw milk. We have, all kind. We had goat milk, cattle milk, we had eggs, we had meats that weren't USDA. We had, from local farmers and ranchers, we had everything in there. We still do. We have a lot of products in there. We today, it's a natural health food store with medicinal herbs. And then that whole section is just it's good food. It's all real healthy food, which is what we promote. Food can either be the destroyer of your life or the heart of your energy, right?
Absolutely. Where is this store located for our audience if they want to visit?
Yeah, you bet. We're in Northern California in Nevada County, and we're in a little town called Penn Valley. And we're right down Penn Valley. We have our ranch is 30 acres right there, and we've got a big, huge building. The grocery store encompasses a little teeny section of that. And then we have we call it a healing hub, and it's functional medicine. My wife is en route on being a PA, and she's got a bunch of certificates, and she's working and helping people today. And then we have a gym that's part of that people can transition from one section of health into the other, just to help everything possible.
So I'm just now realizing, you just told me that you're in California. I didn't realize that until just now. And I'm realizing how much courage you have in taking it, against such tyrants in California. As you know, years ago, James Stewart from Rawsome, who I interviewed, he was thrown in the LA County jail for selling raw milk and raw cheese. And they raided his store and they confiscated $50,000 worth of raw products and they dumped them all in the sewer.
Yeah, that's theft.
That's government theft of private property. Theft. Absolutely.
That is absolute theft.
Well, and they came in with guns drawn too, by the way. So it was gunpoint intimidation, theft, and then they threw him in jail.
That's crazy. Yes. And those are the people that should be in jail. And he has a constitutional right violation there. There's a thing called color of law. And all of our perceived authority people that are put in power, which they shouldn't have that much power, they think that no matter what they do, they're protected because they have that position that's with a city, county, or state or federal government. And they don't. And what happens, and it's right in the USC code, I think it's 271, 272, something like that. And if they come in there and they offend your civil rights, which those people trespassed on him, they stole from him, he has a legitimate lawsuit on those people. And then I would encourage him to go after them if he hasn't.
Well, yeah, I guess I'll have to ask him about that. But yep. I see more conflicts like that coming. They've attempted to shut down your store, as you said, but they didn't come in with guns drawn and steal everything from you, did they?
No, not at all. And we don't have a police department. I'm in a rural county, and we have a sheriff that's pretty constitutional. And then they when the sheriff drives by, and the deputies, they wave and honk their horn at us, and they know who we are. We have some that shop there, so we don't have that same issue as a corrupt police department.
But it doesn't mean that the state doesn't mean that Newsom can't gather up a bunch of goons from the Capitol and drive up there.
I could basically have a gate on my property. It's gated and they'd be trespassing. There's a trespassing sign on there.
I don't think they give a shit, frankly.
They probably don't. Yeah. And it's a situation where I'd call my sheriff and my sheriff would probably come out and arrest him. The sheriff is the most powerful person in our county.
Yeah.
Way beyond the highway patrol, which is Newsom's, force. Yeah. They don't have the power that the sheriff does. And we'd get the sheriff involved in a heartbeat.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, just can't drive on people's property and trespass and think that you can do whatever you want to do. That's why we have a court system. That's why we have a process for that.
Newsom doesn't know this.
I know. There's that perceived authority part.
Right.
It's going to be through education. And we need to educate him right along with the rest of the people that don't understand what our rights really are. And our rights are the Constitution. And basically, when we developed our Constitution, we had the same rights as the king, right? That's who we were. We were sovereign in our country, same rights as the king, which means we are in the king's position. And then we created the government. And the government cannot be in charge of the sovereign. We started the government. It's our government. And they can't do the things they're doing. And they just do it and do it and do it. Yeah. Because we have too many people that are complacent. And we need to change it. Stuff's got to happen.
Well, and absolutely, we are changing it. And I think it's really exciting what you're doing with the PMA's concept. So I want to encourage people to check out your website again, therenegadenation.org, to learn more. And then I want to mention too, Mike, you know, look, we're going to be helping a couple of organizations run some kind of a crypto token pilot project just for their own organization and see how that goes and see if we can get some success stories about that. And, you know, folks, it's not about speculation or earning money. It might be just limited supply. It's just among a small organization to have a means of exchanging value amongst themselves. That's all it is. It's just utility. But that's, I mean, this could be game changing. I mean, imagine if people interacted with each other based on consent rather than coercion, huh?
You're right. Just the way it used to be, right?
Yeah.
That's part of what we're doing. I can see, and I, as soon as, and before I even became got into a PMA, which was the grocery store was the first one, I envisioned our country with millions of PMAs.
Uh-huh. Millions.
And when we hit a million PMAs, it is going to snowball. It's all about the people who weren't brave enough to jump on that bandwagon. When they see that million PMAs out there and operating and being successful and being able to invoke your rights. And that's a big part of the PMAs that drop and that stop are ones that don't know how to invoke their rights and got in the wrong spot, got some advice from the wrong people or however they dealt with it. I'm going to open a PMA today and life's going to be rosy and no one's going to bug me. I guarantee you, if you're out there, you know, if you're out there showing stuff and doing things, they're going to come at you. They're not going to come at everybody. I've done hundreds of PMAs. I've got 23 that have been attacked. But at some point in time, depending on how vocal you are and how much you are out there and also what the risk level is of what you're doing, you're going to get attacked and you need to invoke your rights. You need to do it properly. And when we have enough businesses out there doing that, PMAs are going to become more powerful. We're going to start just by precedence of what happened. The local, you know, city, county and state governments are going to start understanding that, hey, you know, we don't want to fight that because we've seen it lose too many times. We've seen us lose too many times.
Right. Well, what about the whole, the legal profession? It seems like a lot of lawyers need to get up to speed on this because they're not. And I've had cases where I've gone to attorneys on things and I've found that they can be clueless.
Pretty much constitutional classes were an elective in bar school. They really are elective. And they don't understand it to some extent. And then quite honestly, it's everything that they're not taught. And it's really not part of what the bar wants you to be in, right? Because we live in a non-statutory world. And that's, the attorneys are statutory just by nature, right? That's that whole statutory piece of it. To pull you into court, the attorney's job basically is to build a big old huge expensive book of investigative stuff and then to get your case lowered down a little bit so you still pay something, you still do something, but they've extracted money from you, the court's extracted money from you. That's really their job, the way I see it and what history tells me and what I see in history with it. Very, very seldom do they actually get people off, and most of it's just negotiated down.
Yeah, well, but then also the court system often, you know, completely ignores the real criminals in society as well. So
it's so weird, isn't it? That is unbelievable. And we see that in our county so much. It's so sad to watch the revolving door of our county with the people who actually need help or are actual real criminals. And I've actually heard people that talk about, hey, if you're going to do something illegal, go to Nevada County, do it, because they're just going to send you away. They'll send you home. It's like, what? And I live here.
Wow. Well, that's a little bit disturbing, but yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. Okay. Any last thoughts you want to leave with us for today's interview? I mean, it's been fascinating. I know we've only scratched the surface, but what else have we not covered?
Well, I think we kind of covered a pretty good range of things. What we're doing. Oh, a couple of the things that I do. I do private trusts. One of the things that we do. And then also we help people And I don't know if you've heard her, you know, in your influence of what a revocation of election is, that whole process. And yeah, we do those as well and help people get their taxes squared away.
A revocation of election.
Revocation of election. Basically, when you took and you first filled out your first 1040, you went and filled out that 1040 and you elected to pay taxes at that point in time. And that's called an election. And inside the IRC 26, which is that IRS code book, when that happens, you've elected to pay taxes and then you're due to put in a 1040 every subsequent year for as long as you either work or until you die. And what a revocation does, which also talks about right in the IRS book, is that you can revocate your election, which is to rescind that contract, because that's what the 1040 is. It's a contract that you sign and get yourself into taxes. Before you sign that first tax 1040, you weren't due to pay any taxes. Our taxpayers are in Washington, D.C., and they live in Washington, D.C., and or they work for the federal government. And everybody else is basically a resident of their state, which is a totally another story, long, long thing.
Right, a different interview.
They can reach out to me and I can help them through that process and give them a bunch of information, educational information they can learn on and move forward to be able to free themselves a little bit more from the basically tyranny of what we see today in their, you know, their perceived authority.
Yeah, okay, well, fascinating. Fascinating subjects for our time. And here we are living in an unfree world, but there are methods to find freedom. So I want to thank you, Mike, for sharing this with us and encourage people to check out your website again, therenegadenation.org, for information about PMAs. And you have directories and a blog and some other things there as well. So very interesting stuff. And I'll keep my eye on that gold-backed token or whatever that is and see what that looks like. Could be interesting. We love precious metal as well as it holds value. So thanks for bringing that up. And thanks for being here today. It's been a fascinating talk.
I want to thank you for putting me on. I appreciate it very much. You have a wonderful day. And
absolutely.
Thanks again.
Yeah. And as a guest, you answer questions very quickly with a lot of information, and you don't just keep running on with talk. So I thank you for that. You've actually kept it very compact. But yeah, so thank you for that. And again, the website, therenegadenation.org. And thank you for watching, folks. I'm Mike Adams here of Brighteon.com. Another fascinating interview about liberty and freedom. And check it out and see if you might be able to benefit from this information or what Mike Colom is offering. It sounds really interesting. And I do hear a lot more people talking about setting up PMAs. So I'm sure you're going to be hearing about them much more in the days ahead. And you might even be setting up your own for some reason. It could be maybe the reasons we mentioned here in the interview. Anyway, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. Take care, everybody. Today's interview is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com, where we have hundreds of different nutritional and superfood products available that can help support and enhance your health. And by the way, one of my favorite categories that we have is called astaxanthin. And I've got some on my desk here. We have two different brandings of astaxanthin. One is our Chief Originals, and then we have the Hawaiian astaxanthin over there that is Health Ranger branded. It's the same molecule in slightly different formats, but astaxanthin is the most powerful fat-soluble carotenoid antioxidant that comes from nature. And this is what turns salmon flesh pink, by the way. Astaxanthin, it has a very rich, deep, reddish or pinkish color. And it's an incredible molecule. You can read about it online. Just search for astaxanthin, A-S-T-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. I've been using it for, I don't know, almost 20 years at this point. And I think it's remarkable in how it supports my lifestyle and my health habits and my healing as well. So check it out at healthrangerstore.com. Not only do we have astaxanthin, but many other supplements there as well, including premium Manuka honey, which is part of a healing product. We've got certified organic milk powder. We've got organic turmeric gold plus with black pepper and ginger and many other incredible products, hundreds of them to choose from across all these categories. Check it all out and help support this program at healthrangerstore.com.